Good morning. Wow, this is a lovely day to come back, isn't it? So what if actually one of the things I was excited about, and it's true actually, was standing here. So I left it's just under a year ago now that me, Anna, Leo and Cora left. And I really like looking out and seeing quite a lot of people I don't know. Welcome, and that's totally as it should be. I'm aware you've been sitting down for a while, so can we do this? Would you stand up if you're able? And we're going to do just, this is me taking liberties, but there we go. We're going to do something I've not done here for quite a while. I'm going to say God is good. You're going to say all the time. I'm going to say all the time, and you're going to say God is good. Is that all right? Say it like you mean it. God is good. And all the time. God is good. And all the time. God is good. And all the time. Amen. It's true. Why don't you have a seat? There we go. Now let's talk about sin. No. Let's keep your Bibles open at Luke chapter 9. And let's just pray together for a moment. Father God, we love you. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you that the life you have called us to is so much more than being part of a club who meet together on a Sunday. I thank you, God, that you have called us to an incredible life of wholehearted worship and a life where we get to join in with the things that you are doing. So God, I pray this morning, would you come right now? And Lord, I've got some things that you've given me to say, but we want to hear your voice this morning. We want to fall more in love with your Bible this morning. And God, we want to know what you are saying to us so that we can worship you, follow you, and obey you in this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, this is just nice. So we were here, if you don't know us, we were here for, just under 8 years, I think. 7 years, something like that, 7 or 8, who knows. Curate and then associate vicar, had our kids here. Been an amazing place of growing for us. And I guess we're here a bit today as living proof that actually when you send people out, they still exist. And and every so often you'll get to see them. So you don't need to be too worried. And we went all the way down to Barking Riverside, a new town about 25 minutes away, though on the A13 for about 2 hours away. But maybe you don't get that if you don't drive the A13. But so we went a bit further and we're still back. And just in case you're interested, we've basically prayed, got some vision for where we are, gathered a team from All Saints with the Wales, and we moved down there about a month ago. And we're just starting to see some of the things that God is doing. And I want to dig into this passage, but I kind of want to just share something I really feel important to share this morning. And knowing me, I'll run out of time and then I'll miss it. Which is this, Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your hearts. Because everything you do flows from there. All of your life flows from there. And what I want to say to you this morning as individuals and as a church family is to guard your hearts. Because I don't know if you realize, but I guess it's one of the privileges in a way, the advantages of going away from somewhere so familiar and coming back again after a while is you get to see through slightly different eyes. And one of the things I've always known while I was here, and then it just was so apparent even more this morning as we were worshiping, is this is a church of heart. There's wisdom here, and there's good knowledge, and there's abilities, and there's capability, and there's resources, and all of that. But the thing that for me that's one of the most distinctive markers of St. Mary's Church is the incredible heart, a heart of love, a heart that gets excited, a heart that's open, a heart that wants to welcome, and a heart that desperately wants to see the things that God does, rather than just the things that we do. And And one of the things, I would know this with my personality type, but one of the things of being a people who have big hearts and who kind of feel before you think and are open and excited, all that stuff, is it can be quite vulnerable. And one of the things that's happening this morning is actually that you are sending out people that you love and people who have been really close to you, people who have been significant for you. And I know when we first arrived, I mean, Anne and Colin have got quite a mention today, but rightly so. Like when we arrived, Anne and Colin, John and Judith as well, they were pillars of this church community who welcomed and formed so many of us actually who are here. And so it's a big thing today. But one of the things that I sense in this family, and I feel there's a few connections God wants me to make this morning. And one of them is this: I want you to see how this day fits in with the journey that you've been on. So in the news sheet, Malcolm's written down a bunch of names of people who have been sent out from this church, and it's been a sending church. But so far, it's been a sending church of individuals or a small nuclear families. And I really feel one of the shifts that God's doing is you're becoming a church who will send out families of missionaries, who will actually not just send out one or two people, but will send out families of missionaries. And that complements this other shift that's been happening from being a church whose vision is to grow St. Mary's by adding people to it, to actually being a church whose mission is to grow the kingdom by multiplying missionaries and teams who you're going to send out. And those two things go together, because the reason that this is able to be a church family in which whole families of missionaries can be formed and then sent out is because this is a church family who love really deeply, who love in a way that's real and authentic, who actually make a safe place for people to become healed and free and made whole and discover their identity and gifts and call and then get sent out. And guess what? It's an amazing privilege, but you've got to guard your heart. It's interesting talking to Malcolm, and I hope he doesn't mind me sharing this, just last week, because so far, you don't know what I'm going to say, do you? Oh, there we go, love that feeling. No, but it's interesting, because I think what I've experienced with Malcolm is the character of this whole church, which is that he doesn't just train people up. He accepts you in as a friend and part of the family, grows you like a father grows a child, and then at the right time releases you to go. And that's the character of this church. But it's painful, because so far for Malcolm, I thought I was going to be here forever. And you kind of have the same thing. Maybe the Pettits are going to be around for a long, long time. And this is now becoming, there's a shift that's happened, which is realizing, oh, actually maybe God hasn't put a call on us to just keep people and get bigger and bigger and bigger. Maybe God's put a call on us to love so well that people are ready to go. And that call is an amazing privilege, because God can do so much more with people who will release the gifts and the relationships and the people that God gives us than he can with those who want to hoard and keep comfortable. But it's painful, because now you have another go. Next time around, now that you know that this can happen, next time around, when you see something stirring over there, I don't know, maybe something will happen in Epping, maybe in Buckhurst Hill, maybe a bit further away, maybe someone will get called. And now you know that what can happen is not just some people who are on team who kind of go on there, they're there for a while and then they go, but you almost expect it. But now actually people right at the core might be sent. What's your reaction going to be? Are you willing to love next time round? Now you don't have that innocence of, we'll love them like they're going to be here forever, because they probably are. Maybe not. Because I really believe that God is doing incredible things in this church family and through this church family. But it comes from that heart of being willing to love. And it's vulnerable, but it's incredible. If my parents never let me go, that would be really weird. And then I would never have met Anna, would never have Leo and Cora, wouldn't have come here, wouldn't be starting a new church a little way away. We know it, don't we? Nuclear family. If you don't let your kids go, something gets distorted. And it's the same as a church family. So guard your hearts. But here's why it's exciting. And how are we doing? Glad I did that first. I want to make just three really brief connections. That first one is about how this day, yes, okay, 1937 is when planted St. Michael's. One of the questions I do have to ask, you know, myself as much as you guys, because I was in leadership here for a long time, but it's an interesting question to ask, why has it been so long? But it doesn't have to be so long again and again and again. 1937 was a significant time and day. Today is a significant moment, but this isn't a one-off. I really believe this is the beginning of a season that is going to be happening again and again and again. Now, some of you will panic at that. But don't you worry, because God is so good all the time. And he knows how to carry us. He gently leads those who have young. He knows how to carry us. He knows how to lead us through in a way that won't break us, but will make us more than we would be if we just did it the way we wanted. Does that make sense? And for some of you, you might be sitting here going, oh, hold on, this feels a bit intense. I don't feel that emotional. Maybe, to be honest, because you might be quite new and you like these people, but you haven't known them for a long, long time. Do you know, that's where you need each other. Some of you this time around are, this is painful. And you have to be reminded that it's good. Some of you, it's just exciting. Great, something new is happening. And you need to be reminded that for others it's painful. You actually need one another in this time to remind each other, to stand with each other, and to be aware next time around could be the other way. Maybe you'll be the one who feels it. And someone you've comforted can come alongside, comfort, and encourage you. The other connection I want to make is that, you know what? This is just what God does. Today we're getting a glimpse of the heart and the character of God. So this chapter that we had read out, this passage from Luke 9, when Jesus sends out the 12 apostles, is another one that can almost seem like a one-off moment. Because put your hand up if you were one of the chosen apostles by God in your his earthly ministry. Now, these 12 people are people where Jesus, when he was on earth, went onto a mountain and spent all night praying, and God gave him the specific names of these 12 people to call, and he called them. In a beautiful way, it says that he called them to come and be with him so that he could send them out. And now the sending happens. So you could look at this and go, wow, in the big story of the Bible, this is like a one-off incredible moment because it's the 12 apostles. But we know two things. We know, first of all, that these aren't the first people to be sent. Jesus was sent. We believe in God, who is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And in the very heart of God, he is a God who sends those that he loves the most. And so Jesus was sent. And in Luke 4, Jesus stands in the synagogue and gives his manifesto when he says from Isaiah 61, I think it is, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. And then I'll misquote it, but freedom to the captives and sight for the blind. And there's orders, I get the order wrong. And the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus was sent to say, God is your Father who loves you, he's here. And the good news is that you can see, you can be healed, you can be restored, you can be forgiven, you can come back to the God who made you. Then Jesus sends out the 12. And he's saying just to be a Christian, to follow Jesus, is to be brought into his sending and go with him. Is what happens. The next chapter, what happens? Jesus sends the 72. 72 disciples go out. We don't even know their names this time around. And then you get to Acts. Luke and Acts are one book written by the same author in two parts. You get to Acts and you have the day of Pentecost where there's about 120 disciples who are all praying and worshiping when the Spirit comes and sends them out and they preach the good news and 3,000 people become Christians. I mean, that's amazing. And then they don't go until persecution happens. And then you read in chapter 8 that they get sent. And then you have these amazing little moments in the Bible. Sometimes we miss the little things that are so significant. Because actually when you start reading through Acts, the main person who plants churches is the Apostle Paul, who isn't one of these 12 people. Didn't even see Jesus in his earthly ministry. Well, not in a way that changed his heart, apparently. But he's the one who plants most churches. And then you have these amazing little things where actually you get this image from Acts, if you read it carefully, that churches are just springing up all over the place because people that we don't know are going round and planting churches. So in chapter 19, it says that Paul goes to Ephesus and finds some disciples. Where did they come from? We don't know. In chapter 11, it says that after the persecution started, that the Christians went off all over the place. Most of them spoke just to the Jews, but some went to Antioch and spoke to the Gentiles and the Hellenists. And Antioch becomes a mega church that sends Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey. We don't even know who planted Antioch. And then you read into funny things, like in Acts 28, I think it is, where Paul's on his way to Rome. Luke gives you a little travel log narrative of they went to this place and this place and this place, all of them you can't pronounce. But we went to all these little towns. And in this place, this random place on the way to Rome, we found a bunch of disciples. Because they're everywhere. You get the impression of the book of Acts that the default kind of mode of the Christians and the church was we are sent by God. And wherever we are, for whatever reason we find ourselves there, we do what he told us to do. We tell them that the kingdom of God is here. There's a God who loves you and knows you and is near you and he wants you for his own. They just did it. So often nowadays, because we have buildings like this and because we can do our Sunday thing and we're a bit more established, we assume the question we should be asking God is, are you sending me? That's not the question. If you want an answer to this, here you go. God has sent you already. Right now, you are sent. Paul was sent, called and chosen, before he was even a proper Christian. He was on his way to persecute the Jews, down to Damascus, saw a blinding light, not from his donkey, goes blind. Quite, you know, that's quite dramatic. Put your hands up if that happened to you when you became a Christian. I became a Christian when I was 4, didn't have a donkey. But Paul becomes a Christian and kind of encounters God. And then what happens is he's blind and he's left 3 days sitting in a house, not really knowing what's happening. But then in that 3 days, God speaks to another disciple and says, this is Paul. I want you to go to Paul and tell him that I have chosen you. Out of everyone I could have chosen, I've chosen you to go and preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And so this guy, Ananias goes over. And then Paul is called and chosen before he's baptized and becomes a Christian. Isn't that amazing? I don't know how long you've been a Christian sitting here. You might not even be a Christian yet. Guess what? God's already called you. And he's called you to send you. Because he sent every single one of us. The question isn't, am I sent? The question is, where am I sent? And what are you doing? And we understand that by seeing the way that God sends. So just really briefly, if you look at how Jesus sends out the 12 here, it says that he called the 12 together. One of the things that God does is that he sends us together. He sends us in teams. He sent out the 12 together, called them together and sent them out. He sent out the 72 in pairs. He will send us most often together. Because he knows that we need one another. It says then that he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal those who were ill. We are sent with the authority and the power that Jesus has to heal the sick, to proclaim that the kingdom has come, and to break the power of the enemy. Do you know what that looks like today? It is the power of the enemy, I believe, that means we live in a society where marriages are breaking down left, right, and center. Where families are getting separated. Where people are racked with anxiety and depression. Now, I'm not saying that depression is always demonic. But I'm saying that there is a kingdom that is not God's kingdom. That leads us into brokenness. But the sending of God is to go into those places of brokenness and with his authority and his power to see people healed. Free from depression, free from anxiety, reconciliation coming in. Communities brought back together, sins forgiven, shame broken off. And physical healing too. That's all part of the kingdom. But then I love this little bit because he says, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. Go vulnerably. They could have got a staff, they could have got money, they could have got bread. It's not that they couldn't have those things. Go vulnerably. Go humbly. Do you know, part of our little journey since we left was actually I learned, I've done lots of theology and lots of training. I learned lots of ways of how you should go about planting a church. But we have felt so clearly that God has said to us, I'm only going to give you the next step. And we have had to intentionally decide we're not going to take those with us. We're just going to take him and go in dependence. Because when you go dependent, when you go vulnerably and humbly, when you go not thinking you know it all, not thinking you've got it all together, then you look out for what he's actually doing. And these amazing 12 disciples who are going out from here are amazing and brilliant and gifted and resourced. But one of my prayers is that you would go humbly, you go vulnerably, and I almost pray that God would intentionally help you forget the things that right now you think you know, so that you listen and look for what he is actually doing. Because then here's the incredible thing. Then it says, whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. And if you read in the sending of the 72, he says, he expands on that. When someone welcomes you, go into their house and in that place say, peace be upon you and your peace will remain there. And in that house, in that town, tell them about the kingdom and heal the sick. There's this thing where actually God gives us power and authority. God does incredible things. Not because he wants to prove himself to us. God doesn't have to prove himself to anyone. We're the ones who want him to prove him, to kind of prove himself. He doesn't have to do that. God gives us these gifts and power and authority because God longs to share himself and who he is, his love and his wholeness, his life. And he does that in relationship. So when we go humbly, when we go to love, when we go dependent on him, and where we look for connections and relationships that he's drawing us into, and find that our heart is stirred for maybe this community, maybe that family, maybe that person, maybe, I don't know, this type of people, maybe for, my heart's just stirred for orphans who need a home, my heart's just stirred for people in that care home, or wherever it is, maybe it's in your workplace, maybe it's your neighbors, those places where something in you is saying, I just feel a love for this colleague, for that person, for this place, for that need. In that place, pursue that. Go after that. Because it's in that place of connection. That is where God loves to pour out his power. That's where he loves to move. That's what he has given us authority and power for, those places of connection and relationship. It's not given them so that we can dominate, we can prove that we know better, that we can astound everyone with the miracles that God can do. But it's given so that his life can be shared with every person who he's made to be his own, which I believe is every person on earth. So the last thing I kind of want to leave you with really is to, if I've loosely, because I've vaguely structured this, if I've loosely connected today to the wider story, what God's doing here, connected it to the wider character and call of God we find in the Bible. The other thing is for each one of us to connect this to ourselves. And it's been said a lot of times already this morning that all of us are sent, that all of us can be looking for the places where God is calling us and the things he's wanting us to do, that we need to step up in this church family to fill some spaces. But I want you just to see something. Part of the amazing thing about this shift at St. Mary's, to be sending out families and to be looking at multiplying rather than just adding people here, is that for you guys who aren't in full-time Christian ministry, well, all of us are. Those who don't get the privilege of being paid for it. You have to do a real job. For those of us who go off into workplaces or are in our communities with our neighbors or our families or wherever it is, So often, if you've got a church that's just wanting to add to that church, then when you see something happen in the office, when you think, man, that person's actually hungry for God, maybe over lunch you have a conversation, you say something about, you know, that you went to church at the weekend, and they're asking you more questions, and maybe you get the courage to say, well, you know, if you want to know more, do you want to read the Bible together? Maybe you do that the next lunchtime. This is quite a good idea, isn't it? And maybe they start thinking, and there's a few more who want to come as well. If you're in a church that just wants to add people to it, what happens? You then hit this tension. Well, I work in the city. These guys are never going to come to Loughton. How on earth do I connect it? But now, you're part of a church family who aren't just trying to add people to Loughton, but are trying to multiply the kingdom wherever it happens and pump resource out. So now you come back to your church family and say, look, I think there's a connection here God's making. I think I've just been welcomed here. I think this is something God might be doing. What do we do? And now your church family says, and your vicar says, wow, that's amazing. How can we resource that? How can we pray for you? How are there other people who might even be able to come in and do something there? Is there something God's doing? Maybe there's a bunch of you who live in the same little area and you're coming over here. Maybe God wants to plant over there. Do you know what's so exciting about this? Is the next church plant that happens could be started by any person sitting in this room if God connects you to someone. Do you see that? This is why when the 72 come back and say, wow, Jesus, look at all this amazing stuff that happens. He says, don't celebrate about all the amazing stuff. Celebrate that your name is written in heaven. In other words, celebrate where you're going, live for eternity. But then something happens that we don't see anywhere else in the Bible. It describes how Jesus was so excited and full of joy that it says he rejoiced in the Spirit and prayed. And he prays, thank you, Father, that you are showing these children what people have longed to see. Kings and prophets long to see what we now see and to hear what we hear. And yet we get to do it. It's amazing. You sent us, and we don't disappear, don't cease to exist. We still love you, still come in here, still connected. Your sending us means that St. Mary's responded to a fire down at Barking Riverside a few weeks ago because we were there. You sent Jordan and Hannah out. Your sending them meant, I don't know if you remember, that there were stabbings in their area. St. Mary's responded to those through Jordan and Hannah. You're sending out some more team now down to St. Michael's to unblock some wells and see something incredible happen. St. Mary's is doing that. Where else can St. Mary's send, join with God, and see incredible things happen? Can we stand together if we're able? I'm going to pray one thing. Is this. I want to just give us a moment between you and God to say, I surrender to you, Jesus. And to give God permission not to send you, because he already has, but to give God permission to make whatever connection he wants to make between you and people he is trying to reach. Which might mean you move churches at some point, you do a different role here, might mean something dramatic, might mean something small. But are you willing to say this morning, God, I'm sent by you, and you can do whatever you want in me and make those connections. If you're willing to do that, I just encourage you to put your hands out in front of you like a sign of surrender. And I want to pray, Father God, we love you. And I thank you that every single one of us in this room are yours. And we say, yes, God. We agree that we are sent. And this morning, we offer ourselves to you. Take us where you want to take us. Do in us what you want to do in us. connect us to the people that you are wanting to reach. And let us see it when you do, so that you can do whatever you want to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.